yesterday, every time I got a text on my phone, it was somebody else telling me they were sick and weren't going to be here today. But you know, if it weren't for you visitors, we might be kind of slim today. But we're certainly glad all of you are here and can hear the lesson to be presented today. You know, there are many offices that carry great responsibility. Certainly the President of the Nation carries a great deal of responsibility. Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the Governor, or maybe, you know, CEO or President of a corporation. But as we started discussing last week, the office that has great responsibility, probably one of the greatest responsibilities of any office, is that of elders. Those of you that are visiting, we started a series last week talking about elders, and we're going to go through, you know, several different lessons in the next couple of months dealing with what the Bible has to say about, you know, shepherds of the flock. This particular congregation this time does not have elders, and there are instructions in the Bible, as we saw last week, examples that we see in the first century of churches that appointed elders, and there are qualifications of elders that were read this morning. So it is God's plan that a church should have men that lead in this position and serve as shepherds of the flock, and in particular have these qualifications that are stated in the Scripture. We haven't really got into what those qualifications are, and we'll be doing that in the upcoming weeks. But what we talked about last week is we reviewed the New Testament pattern of church organization, and we define words that are used to describe those that serve as elders. And we'll look at those words again in just a second. But there are several different words that are used to describe this one position. And it is important for churches to realize that this is God's plan for the church, and to develop men that can serve in this regard. And it's certainly important for men to desire this and to live in such a way that they can develop themselves spiritually, so that one day maybe they can serve in this capacity if they have that opportunity. And so in this study, we will look at the work of and responsibility that elders have, and that's the burden of the lesson this morning, so that we can appreciate what is involved in that, and certainly to appreciate those who serve in that capacity, and those of you that have had the blessing of being at a congregation that had good elders, you can certainly relate to that and know that those who serve in that type of role do it because of a love for souls and a love for God and a desire to do God's will. And we're trying to better understand that role ourselves here at Elliottsville, so that one day we can look at appointing men to that role if we have those that are qualified, as God lays out in His Word. In the New Testament, we see three different Greek words that are used to talk about this position. The one that you commonly hear is the word elder. That's probably been the most popular description over the years. It is the word presbyters, and so that is a word that describes those who are mature Christian men. And sometimes when we think of elder, when we think of elderly, we think of somebody that's older. And when it comes to those who are serving in this capacity, it doesn't mean that they're old. Usually it does, because of different reasons that we'll see in the qualifications. But just because you're old doesn't mean that you are an elder. You may mean that you're elderly and you have an AARP card, but you're not necessarily an elder because you are old. So that'll make more sense as we go through the study. Elder means mature Christian men. And the word bishop is also a word that's used to refer to this same role. Episcopos is the word that's translated sometimes as bishop. Sometimes you'll see it translated as overseer. And so the task there is described as overseeing the congregation. The one word that you see abused many times is the word pastor, because people refer to a preacher or an evangelist as a pastor, and that's not really what the word is referencing. A preacher can be a pastor, but every preacher is not necessarily a pastor. A pastor is referring to this same role as a bishop or overseer or an elder, and the word pastor means a shepherd. And so a lot of times, as we've termed this series of lessons, shepherds of the flock, that is a popular way of referring to this role because of the idea that we are, as a congregation, we are a flock, and the shepherds will help shepherd and guide that flock in the right direction and shepherd them and feed them as the flock of God. So the idea when you see the word pastor, elder, bishop, overseer, shepherd, these are not a bunch of different positions. These are all ways of describing the same person, describing the same position. So whenever you see these words, it's all referring to the same thing, the same man, and the same work. And so that's a little bit of a review of what we talked about last week. So today we want to look at the work and responsibility of the elders or the shepherds, the bishops, pastors, overseers, as we see in the Word of God. First of all, we know that shepherds need to take heed to themselves. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Timothy says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." And so the work of an elder or a bishop is something that is good. It is a good work. And what that work entails, we can glean from the Scriptures. One thing that helps us to understand that is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. What is it that the work of the overseer or the bishop entails? Paul says in verse 28 of Acts 20, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So you see that instruction, how Paul used different words to describe those men. He said, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. You're part of that flock, and the flock that you're an overseer of, and you're to shepherd that flock that God purchased with his own blood. "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among us, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified." And so Paul's comments here are to the Ephesian elders. That's who he is addressing here in Acts chapter 20. And so he really gives a little bit of an overview of what these shepherds are supposed to do. And so we will break this down in the lesson today. First of all, we see that they are to take heed to themselves. That they really need to, before they can help anybody else, they really need to be careful about who they are and what they're behavior is. They need to be concerned about their own spiritual development. And you know what they say, when you're pointing at somebody else, you've got 3 fingers pointing back at you. Well, that's the thing that we need to always remember, that elders or shepherds or overseers are to be an example. And if they are not an example, then they're not really taking heed to themselves. They're not taking care of their own home, if you want to use it in that regard. So they are to take heed to themselves as an example of faithfulness that others can see. So when Paul tells the brethren or the elders here, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, that's number one. Before they can do all these other things concerning helping the flock and warning them and taking care of the other things that need to be done, they need to take care of their own spiritual development first. Because if they don't do that, they're not going to be able to be helpful. In my work at Conica Minolta, I'm responsible for training on different pieces of hardware and sometimes software, and there's so many different things that we have there. It has come up from time to time that I'll actually be called upon to train something that I've never touched before. Train on a piece of, and I have to say, thank you, Mr. Customer, for buying this, because if you hadn't then I would never have gotten a chance to learn how it works. And so I go in there cold, and that's not the way things should be. You would want to have the opportunity to know what you're talking about before you go and try to train somebody on how to use something. But that may happen from time to time in business. But when it comes to what Paul is saying here, these elders, they need to take heed to themselves first. They cannot teach something that they don't know. They cannot be a spiritual example and a spiritual leader if they have not embodied that in their lives. And so they need to take heed to themselves before they take heed to the flock. Also, in verse 28, it says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Why is it that they need to take heed to the flock? Well, it's because that flock has been purchased with the blood of Christ. It's precious. And it's so precious to God that He sent His Son to sacrifice for that flock. And so it is something that should be precious in our own eyes. And hopefully, you know, we have that kind of regard for one another. If we see someone suffering physically, if we see someone in need that's among us, if we see that somebody is suffering spiritually and needs encouragement, that is something that will bother us. It is something that will cause us to take some action to correct that. And so that is what the overseer or the elder is to do, is to take heed to the flock, because they are responsible for that flock, because God has made them overseers of those who have been purchased by the blood of His Son. How do they do that? Well, they are to feed them. They are to feed the flock. And by doing that, as shepherds, it is a big responsibility for them to do that. To shepherd means to feed. To shepherd means to nourish. And if you look at Psalm 23 and the example of that psalm that's so familiar to us, you see that the shepherd is taking care of the sheep and causing them to be able to be in peace and to be nourished. And so that is the reason that there is a qualification of an elder, that they need to be able to teach. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. And, you know, without, you know, getting too far in the weeds on that, because we will be discussing all these qualifications in more detail, you know, it is obvious that's something that's important for a shepherd to be able to do, is to teach. Now, you know, that will help them to be able to watch out for trouble. When I was in college, I worked for a short period of time at a store that taught us how to be on the lookout for counterfeit money. And you know what they do when they teach you to look out for counterfeit money? They teach you what real money looks like. You know, they don't show you every type of counterfeit money that you might encounter, but they show you all the attributes of what is real. And so that's important to us as Christians to know the Word of God, because how are the shepherds going to know when these ravenous wolves come in? How are they going to know when these people that want to do harm, that are false teachers, how would you know a false teacher if you heard one? Because of the tone of his voice, because of how eloquent he was, or how the lack of eloquence that he had? You know, how would you know? You know, there are a lot of lessons that I've heard over the years taught by those who are false teachers that sounded really good, because they were engaging, they were personable, they used illustrations that seemed to illustrate their point. And so to those that, you know, don't know the Word of God, and many of those points, you know, could have been swallowed. But what the elders are to do is they need to be able to watch out for trouble. If you heard what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he says that there are people that will rise up and speak perverse things. There will be wolves that come in among you, not sparing the flock. How are they going to know how to handle that? How are they going to recognize the wolves? oh, I'm a wolf, everybody watch out for me. And that's not the way that happens. Those that want to be a false teacher don't come in and advertise themselves and have a big FT on their T-shirt. I'm a false teacher, and everybody needs to be aware that I'm going to try to change everything here. That's not the way it happens. You have to know the Word of God. You have to know the real thing to recognize the counterfeit. And so you have to know the Word of God. And that's one reason that there's a qualification to teach, and that it's implied when you're able to teach that you know what you're teaching. And I'll just go ahead and say it here that when you're looking at those that may be people that are qualified to be an elder, and you look at that qualification, just because somebody does not stand up in the pulpit or feel comfortable teaching a class does not mean that they're not a teacher. That they may be very, it's good that they can do that. It's good that they can stand up and deliver a message, but some people are not good at public speaking. So somebody that knows the Word of God and has a reputation for being able to teach one-on-one or teach families or teach in the home, you know, that's just as much of a qualification as standing up here in the pulpit. Somebody that knows the Word of God and they do teach others is something that needs to be thought of as well. So there's a qualification of being able to teach and being able to watch out for trouble from within, the savage wolves that come and from without, and the trouble from within that the Paul says rises among yourselves. A shepherd also needs to depend on God and His Word, as we've already recognized. In Acts chapter 20, again in verse 32, he says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Paul is putting an emphasis on the Word of God. He's also implying here that they need to be prayerful about these things as well that may be happening in the church, and be aware of those things that might be harmful to them. Next thing that we want to look at here is that this position of a shepherd, an overseer, or an elder, it means that person is to have some authority, that they are to be in the role that they are giving some instruction. In Acts chapter 20, again, in verse 28, he says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Overseers implies some authority over that in that role. And so, although they're not specifically mentioned by name here, these that are overseers, you know, are the elders. That it's all the same thing: elders, pastors, overseers, bishops. And so, what does that authority entail, and what does it mean? Well, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all." And so here, this idea of one of the roles of the elder is that their labor involves authority. And how is that authority used? Well, the way that Paul describes it here in 1 Thessalonians is that authority is limited to that which is in the Lord. They're not going to take authority over something that the Lord hasn't given them any authority to do. What the authority is it pertains to the Lord's will. It pertains to the Lord's work. And it's specific to what is done here among us as a group. Again, he says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." So the instruction there is for the group to honor those who are in that position and to respect that. And it says that they are over them. And that should not be ever construed in a negative way. Those that serve as shepherds or overseers that do that in a godly way, that would be something that would be respected. And Paul encourages the Thessalonian brethren to respect that. the labor that they are involved in also involves admonition. Admonition. In 1 Thessalonians 5, once again, he says, those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Well, what does it mean to admonish someone? If you have to admonish your child, is that something that's positive? Well, it's positive in that it can have a positive effect if it's successful. But admonishing is akin to discipline and guiding someone. And so, that's part of what Paul was warning about in Acts chapter 20, that there are those that may come up among them that are unruly. Well, what happens to those who are unruly? Well, they need to be ruled. They need to be not unruly anymore. And so they need to be admonished, or they need to be disciplined. So this labor that the elders are involved in involves admonition. He also says in 1 Thessalonians that they're to comfort the faint-hearted, uphold those who are weak, and be patient with others. And so that's something that you have to have some patience and some people skills to do that, and certainly some concern for others to be able to comfort those who are in need of that comfort. And so that kind of labor involves knowledge, right? It involves knowledge of God's will and the wisdom to use it properly. Let's look at what Paul wrote to Timothy as we read this morning at the beginning of the lesson. Another thing that an elder or overseer needs to be able to do is, as we've already said, needs to be able to teach. He is to be a teacher, and that's one of the qualifications that we see here. A bishop, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. It's something that is absolutely necessary so that you know the will of God so that you can explain that to others. An elder doesn't have the knowledge, God isn't going to be able to fulfill that responsibility. As I said before, you don't have to be somebody who has a lot of eloquence to be able to be a teacher. It's helpful, but it's absolutely not necessary. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, he says, although I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, for I have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. So, Paul did not have a great deal of admiration for his ability to talk, is what it sounds like. He said, I'm not trained in speech. I'm not a great orator, but what I do know is I know the Word of God. So was that enough? Certainly it was, as Paul was inspired to write most of the New Testament. So similarly, we need to realize that just because someone is not an eloquent speaker, that doesn't mean you need to write off their knowledge and their ability to teach. And also, we're told that the bishop or overseer needs to be able to rule others well in this particular passage. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, one who rules his own house well, having his own children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Also, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And so here you see the task of the elder being associated with the word rule. And it's also compared to a person being able to rule their own household. How is that done? Well, it should be done in a way that others can submit to that with reverence. And it implies being an example that would inspire others to follow that. One thing that's very challenging as a parent is as your children are getting older and you start to hear them repeat things that you say. And you might sometimes modify your behavior or your outbursts or the things that you say based on what you see your children imitating in you, because maybe you don't like the way that looks. Sometimes a child will say something and say, where did you hear that? And they'll say, well, I heard it at school, or I heard it from you. Well, we need to realize that a big responsibility of ourselves, and in fact, many of these qualifications that we look at when it comes to elders are something that everybody should embody. Is the elder supposed to be the only one that has a good example? No, we should all be good examples. We should all be good parents and examples to our children. We should all rule our households well. But the one that is qualified to be in this position as an elder absolutely must have that. If a father is not in control of his household, the kids are running wild, they have no respect for their mother or father, and they're involved in all kinds of sin, certainly that's going to be something that would say, well, they're not ruling their household well. And so to be in this position, to rule others well, it implies that you are a good example that others are going to follow, and it also shows that others are indeed doing that. And that will result in others having respect for you. When you see somebody that is a good example and you see others following that example, it gives you respect for what it is that they're doing in the work of God. What we see in Titus is another thing that Paul says that the elders ought to be thinking about. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, holding fast the faithful word that has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So this really goes hand in hand with some of the things that we've already said, is that the person that is to be an elder is somebody that should be a diligent student, because it says that he holds fast what it is that he's been taught. And so it doesn't go in one ear and out the other, but he continues to build upon what it is that he knows about the Scripture. He retains it. He doesn't forget it. And when he needs to recall it, you know, at an opportune time, that he's able to recall the Word of God and he's able to apply it to situations. You know, one of the worst things that I think many of us do from time to time is when somebody asks us a question when it comes to the Word of God, is we start to say, well, I think such and such. And it's a hard habit to break, because we shouldn't be saying, well, I think, because you know what that means is that, well, you think that, he thinks that, she thinks that, and one thinks so is just as good as somebody else's thinks so. It should be that, well, now here's what God says. Here's what the Word of God says. When we do that, that's the end of it. That's the end of the discussion, for God has spoken on that. And it's not Randy's thinks so or Jason's thinks so or anybody else. It's the diligent student, Paul says, holds fast to what he is taught. He retains it. He doesn't forget it. He properly applies it. And that's not possible unless somebody is a diligent student and continues to build upon that knowledge. And certainly it's something that we are never complete in our knowledge of the Word of God. It's something that we should all be working to improve all the time. And also, Titus is saying, hold fast the faithful words he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, able to exhort and convict those who contradict. And so this is used to be an effective teacher. An effective teacher is able to exhort and encourage the brethren and to use the Word of God in a useful way, especially when you come across those who are not being faithful to it, those who contradict, those who are saying things that are against the Scripture. You know, how many times, and I just tell on myself here that there's been sometimes when somebody has said something and I'm sitting there saying, that doesn't sound right to me. And I can't put my finger on it right then. I've got to go look it up, or I've got to go, and I'm not able to recall what it is that I want to recall, but I know enough to know that what they're saying isn't right. But what is implied here, that Paul is telling Titus, that those that are elders need to be able to recall that. They need to be able to call upon the Word of God. That doesn't mean they have a perfect knowledge of the Word of God, but they need to be building upon that and have the aptitude and the reputation for being able to not say, well, I think it's this, but able to point to the Scriptures and say, this is what the Word of God says about that, and this is what we need to do. And so use the Word of God in that way to show error where it exists. Also, a shepherd is to be able to, and I'm getting behind on my slides here, very behind, but watches out for souls. And I know we as Christians all should be watching out for each other's souls. We do that. But elders have a specific responsibility to do so. They are the ones that need to do that. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the Hebrew writer says, "Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as one who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Although the Hebrew writer doesn't specifically say the elders here, we can imply that because it says, "Obey those who rule over you." Well, that's the elders. That's the overseers. And why? Because they are watching out for you. They're not ruling over you to be in charge, but they're ruling over you because they have a responsibility to look out for your souls. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Again, we've already read this, but one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Implied there is there's something to be taken care of. That there is something that needs to be ruled over. That there is some responsibility to take care of these souls. So the elder is one who watches out for souls, who oversees the flock, as we saw referenced in Acts chapter 20. But it is also a severe responsibility, an awesome responsibility, as Hebrews said, because he has to give an account. And maybe this is why sometimes people shy away from serving as elders. But we don't need to forget what we talked about last week, the parable of the talent. If somebody has these qualifications and they are mature, they have a good handle on the Word of God, but then they read Hebrews, well, you know, I'm going to have to give an account, and so I don't want to have that responsibility. But you also need to realize that you're given an account for how you use your talent, too. How you use your abilities, and you have a responsibility to use that. So, don't shy away from serving and watching out for one another. Again, I don't want those of you that are sitting there thinking, well, you know, because of this and that, or because I'm a woman, I'm never going to be qualified to be an elder, so this is all irrelevant to me. All these things, most of these things that we're talking about here are responsibilities of every Christian and should be put on. Every Christian should be watching out for each other and watching out for one another's soul. But the elder has a specific responsibility to watch out for those in the local work. The shepherd is also one who oversees and leads, and he does that mainly by example, but he shepherds the flock. In 1 Peter chapter 3, or 1 Peter chapter 5, rather, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 and 3, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." A lot of instruction there in a short sentence about what the elders are to do. That you're supposed to do this willingly, not because somebody begged you to do it, not for dishonest gain, whatever that might be, but something that would be eagerly done, and not because you want to be the boss over everybody or being lords to those entrusted to you, but being examples. And so the shepherd is one who oversees, but he does that and leads by example. And if you lead by example, then it should be something that makes it easier for people to follow you. If you have the love for one another and you're watchful for the flock and you embody all these characteristics that we're going to look at in the next few weeks, it should make it easy for those that are in the flock to honor you as an overseer. So a shepherd is one who oversees and one who leads the flock and does that because of his love for the brethren. So we can summarize it in this way this morning. what we've looked at. The responsibility of elders is to oversee the flock, leading and guarding the sheep. The work of elders is accompanied by teaching and providing examples for the sheep to follow. And hopefully this will help us understand why Paul calls this a good work. Because I think we can all see that it is a good work, and it's something that will help the body of Christ when you have good leaders. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1 and what they are, and that will help us to understand the role even better. So I appreciate your patience and your attention as we go throughout this study, and I hope by the time that it's done, we'll have a good understanding of what shepherds' work is and what their responsibilities are, and help us as we try to move forward to looking among ourselves to see if we have those that can perform this work. Today, if you have not been obedient to the gospel of Christ, we wouldn't want to leave any service closed without offering the invitation to you. If you know what it is that you need to do, if you have something in your life that's separating you from God, perhaps you have never given your life to Christ by being buried in baptism. You have the ability to take care of that today. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand together and pray.